focus on the end of ISA, where Yaakov makes his staggered return home after repeated attempts to extricate himself from his father-in-law and from his responsibilities. So what launches the desire, or at least the readiness, to go home? But it's not just about extricating himself from Laban, it's also fearing Esav. Esav's around the corner, awaiting him with his 400 men. So the Torah writes, "Vahi kasher yelda Rachel es Yosef, vayomer Yaakov el Laban, shelchini v'elcha el mekomi liartzi." Something about Yosef's death prompted Yaakov to start thinking about his return. "Vahi kasher yelda Rachel es Yosef, vayomer Yaakov el Laban shelchini." That was the trigger, was the catalyst. With an extra child, no room in Aron Narayim, he had to move back to Israel. It was more baby chairs. What about Yosef's birth prompted this? So Rashi says that Yosef is always the sitno shel Esav. Yosef is Esav's foil. So the children of Yosef, Yehoshua, Shaul, Binyamin, Yosef's brother, that whole family of Rachel is more active in defeating Yosef, even to the point of Mashiach ben Yosef. His role is to pave the way by defeating Esav, to pave the way for Mashiach ben David. So now that Esav's foil, or Esav's defeater, has been born, this is really interesting. Now that Yosef is born, but Yaakov feels more protected from Esav. If Esav attacks him, he'll hold his baby Yosef out like a piece of like a garlic for the vampire to see, and the vampire go running away. But a little baby Yosef is going to scare away Esav. He has to assume he's going to meet Esav immediately. Little baby Yosef. Maybe metaphysically, the fact that Yosef is born metaphysically means he has more control over Esav. What I think it means, in addition to metaphysically, which it could mean, is also psychologically, that confidence in life comes from knowing that you're part of something larger, and that the larger agenda that you're involved in will succeed regardless of your fate. There's something larger that's happening. You're contributing to that larger process. You may be more successful personally or less successful, but your life's project, your life's mission, the important things in life, those will be fulfilled regardless. That's where Emunah comes from. Emunah comes from being part of Am Yisrael, being part of Jewish history. I mean, Emunah. So will Mashiach come in our day? We hope. But what would happen if it doesn't come when we're alive? So you could be frustrated by that. Or you could say, well, we know he's coming, and we know that our lives are contributing to it. And even if there weren't, let's say there weren't Chesed Meisim Chas V'Shel, but you still know that that goal that you live for will be accomplished. And not just that you'll rise to see Mashiach, but that it's accomplished. It's something larger that you're just a small part of. You're a small part of the chain. And that larger end goal is secure, that larger end goal. That gives you confidence in the future, because underconfidence comes from, well, what's my life worth? What am I going to accomplish? If I don't accomplish this, a lot of underconfidence means you're not sure whether you can be successful, or whether, once you attach your success to something larger than your own personal curve, your own personal trajectory, then you get confidence. So Yaakov now knows that Yosef is born. He now knows that his struggle with Esav multi-generationally will be successful. So you can go back and face Esav. Will he die? Maybe. We know that he won't. But even if he dies, he knows that he's created a future, and that future gives him confidence even in the present. Confidence comes from a lot of different areas. You know, I advise people when they go to college, so you can study five times the amount you need to study, or you can enter a test with great confidence and pass. And generally, the more confident you are in the exam, the better you'll do. The better grade you'll get. Because a lot of it is pressure and nervousness. Well, tell me, how should I be confident? Tell me how to be confident, then I'll know how to pass the test. But confidence means the test isn't the only thing in the world. There are more important parts in this world than your test. If the test is larger than you, then if you don't pass the test, your life will end, or your life will be compromised. And then, of course, you don't have any confidence because it all hinges upon tests. But if you know there's something larger you're living for, the test, the exam is just one part of it. Okay, so you'll pass, you'll do your best. Ironically, those are the people that do better, because they have confidence, because it's not all about the test. And so same thing is happening with Yaakov and the birth of Yosef. Okay, so now Lavan says, I don't want you to leave. Imna matzasi chen b'einecha, nichashti, v'yivrachin Hashem b'glalecha. So this is our first encounter with Nichosh, with black magic, with omens, with the Isser Lo Tenachesh. We see it later on in Parshas Balak, Bilam. Bilam is the Noche, is Menachesh. We see in Kedoshim, Lo Tenachashu, in Parshas Rei, Lo Tenachashu, Lo Tenenu. This is the first contact with the ancient world of black magic and sorcery and wizardry, and trying to predict the future through birds and mushrooms and potions and sayings and incantations. So, what is this first Nichosh? What's this big discovery that Lavan discovers only through Nichosh. There's no other way he could have discovered it. Because all the bracha that I've received is because of you, Yaakov. And Rashi fills in because what was Lavan pointing out? Some real surprise. Yaakov, before you arrived, I only had girls. How do we know that Lavan only had girls before Yaakov arrived? Because if he had boys, it's unlikely that Rachel would be drawing water. That's men's labor. So poor Rachel has to perform a boy's job. She's a tomboy because there are no boys in the family. But now he says, now that you've joined my family, I had so many boys. I'm populated with so many boys. So it must be that the reason that I have so many boys is because of your arrival. Okay. It takes Nichosh to understand that. It just takes ration. Just look around you. For years and years, you only had girls. Now Yaakov's been living with you for 22 years. You've got 22 boys. What else does it depend on? Just chance? You have to consult with a sorcerer? With a magician to understand that? Just look around you. Just use your ration. Obviously, it's irrational in the sense of biological. The DNA of Lavan and his wife need to change. But evidently, there's something about Yaakov's arrival. So your ration can help you understand something supernatural. You can't pin it down. You can't break it down in the laboratory. But you can understand there's something about this man, Yaakov. Because for years and years, I had no boys. Now that he came, I've had boys. Endlessly. Rabbits. Every year, rabbits are born to me. You need a nichosh. The answer is what Rashi's saying is that part of the danger of Nichosh is to become addicted to Nichosh. And areas that you can discover through Ration, you don't use your head, you don't use your science, you don't use... Part of the reason a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to fall into the trap, what's the issue of Lo Tenachesh? It's a very, very long shir. But part of the issue of Lo Tenachesh is not just the contact with Avodah Zarah, and not just it shows a lack of Emunah Kodesh Baruch Hu, but Hashem wants you to use other tools for your future. What tools should you use in place of Nichosh that Nichosh could hamstring, that Nichosh could eliminate? Well, one is Bechira Chavshus. If you become too preoccupied with the future, you'll lose the sense that the future really is unknown. You're creating the future. Okay, in this case, Lavan wasn't trying to understand the future. He's trying to understand the past. Oh, you want to understand the past? Just use your head. But if Berchel gave you a rational head, then not everything could be assessed rationally, for sure. And that's why people subscribe to Nichosh or partake of Nichosh, even though it's not, but that's why they feel the need to Nichosh. But at a certain point, you become so enmeshed in that world, it's called addiction. And addiction isn't just for materials, it's for behavioral patterns. Once you become so addicted to certain MO, you lose your capacity to use the other tools that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you. Just use your brain, love. You don't need Nichosh. Nichashti vayirachin Hashem biglalecha. You're seeing the toxicity of Nichosh. Okay, so they stick around, they come to some solution, and a very, very complicated arrangement, and Yaakov is very generous, and he's only going to take the spotted and dotted sheep, and he's going to separate the sheep, and he's very, very extensive. Yaakov says, "Lo titin li ma'uma im tase li yaseh davar hazeh." This is what we'll do. The Torah is very meticulous in describing the details. And then made an arrangement. Here's the details of the arrangement. It's a little bit odd. The Torah has to get drilled down under the hood of this arrangement. Spotted and dotted and sticks and no sticks. V'chomak savim. All of a sudden, in Parshas Vayetzeh, we're all expected to be shepherds. And understand the difference between spotted sheep and non-spotted sheep. It just shows that Yaakov's trying to be as thorough and honest as he can. And the more explicit the contract is, and the more precise the terms are, the less misunderstanding is going to be in the future. So Yaakov is being very, very precise in this arrangement. Then Lavan says something shocking. Vayema Lavan, hein. Okay, yeah, that's a great idea. I accept. Hey, Pasuk should end there. What does he say? Lu yehi kidvarecha. I wish it were true. What do you mean I wish it were true? Yaakov just told you. It's clear as day. Has Yaakov ever deceived you? Never. Lu yekid varecha. Rashi says, Lu yekid varecha. Halavai shetach botzvaka. He doesn't even wonder whether Yaakov is going to fulfill this word. He's not even sure if Yaakov wants it to be true. Maybe Yaakov is such a liar and such a swindler that not only is he saying one thing but wants another thing, maybe he's not even in touch with what he wants. He's thinking one thing, but it's not really what he wants. I wish you would want that. Well, guys, this is projection 101. Yaakov's an honest guy. But Lavan is so dishonest and so deceitful that his whole life is just a massive confusion. And he can't even take someone else at their face value. Someone as honest, as candid, as forthright as Yaakov. With all terrible midos, the greatest onus is that you become consumed with that mida. The greatest onus for being angry is you live a life of anger. The greatest onus for a life of cynicism is you live a life of cynicism and bitterness. the greatest onus for a life of deceit and dishonesty is you lose the ability, we talked about this earlier this week, to discern truth from honesty, truth from falsehood. This is the most honest person coming forward. He hasn't turned his back on 20, he hasn't crossed you for 22 years. He's being as explicit as you can be, and the Torah is wasting words describing irrelevant details about sheep. And Lavan is so caught in a web of dishonesty and deceit that he can't even imagine that Yaakov is going to fulfill his commitment, or even that he wants the commitment. He's just lost. He's just lost in a world. Lying is addictive. And when you lie and you lie and you lie, even when those are white lies in life, sometimes you cross into the territory of lying, you lose your passport for your return. You can't get back into the world of honesty because you're just so enmeshed in a world of lies and dishonesty. So this is a very sad portrait after Yaakov has been so clear, loving it, Lu Yehikid Varecha, I don't even know if you want it, because love, nothing he says makes any sense. Nothing he says can be taken at face value. So communication breaks down. No one can trust him. He can't trust other people. You see the world through the lenses of your own experience. So Lavan sees Yaakov through his own lenses. He sees Lavan. He sees himself in the mirror when he's looking at Yaakov. And of course, he's a swindler. So all he can see are people that are liars and cheats and deceivers. And it's a sad puzzle. These are two sad things about Lavan. I've discovered this great discovery through my wizardry that you're the reason I have sons. Yeah, just look around you. Use your head. And I'm not sure if you mean what you're saying. You're not sure if I mean what I'm saying because you never mean what you're saying. So you see some of these traits and how corrosive they become. And the other trait of confidence is once there's a long-term project that you're a part of, and that long-term project is guaranteed and secure, so you have confidence because you live for things that are larger than the moment. Yaakov is larger than Esav now because he knows that the triumph and the victory over Esav is secure. Be larger than your exams because your life isn't going to rise or fall whether you get 100 or 90 or in your biology exam or your chemistry exam. It's an important exam. Take it seriously. I promise you that confidence will up your grade by 10 points, at least 10 points. 10 points for confidence. Okay, have a good day, everyone. Yes, Yoni.